on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Scratching my head here, boy. I'm really kind of on to something here today, I think. Appreciate you all being with us. Here's my burden today. Lord, let us the words of our lips be pleasing in your sight, Lord Jesus. Here's where I'm jumping off here this morning. Christianity is a participation sport. It's not I don't know if you've picked up on this. The media has a tendency to create for us our stars, our heroes. What's the name of that girl now that she's wearing, somebody help me out here, wearing her jeans, and they said it's in her jeans, and now she is the media. What's her name? Thank you. Sydney Sweeney. Everywhere you look, Sydney Sweeney. Now, who decided Sydney Sweeney was going to be, who made her a star? Who was responsible for that? So we have to understand that you and I are being manipulated by the media because they want you and especially your children to, they want to pick who your heroes and who your stars are. We still haven't picked up on them because we as Christians, we worship the same people. Come on. Charlie Kirk. I like listening to Charlie Kirk. He's really, really good. Who made Charlie Kirk? Who gave him his jumping off spot? Who decided they were going to let Charlie Kirk be? He's really good. I'm not making fun of Charlie. He's really good. Who's booking these people for us? Are we aware? I'm going to take you someplace today. I'm going to take you someplace. Because here's what I want to do more than anything. I want to ignite the Spirit of God that's within you. You. I say it again. You. And I want to hear from you today on what you are doing, no matter how small it might be. What are you doing for the kingdom? You. Now, I'm going to... Look, I got it up here. I know today's Psalm or Proverbs 12. I get all that and all the stake. I get all that. But I'm gonna coach you a little bit here this morning if I can. I can jump in and I can start reading Psalm. Here's where I really want to take you this morning. Is it okay if I do it? Sure it is. Y'all turned in here today. I want you to go to it says the natural man. The natural man. Pull that up for me. The natural man. Hey friends, are you looking at me? Betty, you looking at me? Because you better understand this, folks. A non-born-again woman cannot understand the things of the Spirit. You missed it. I'm not talking about churchgoers. Oh. I'm not talking about churchgoers. Because I get in a situation... Can somebody help me out here? Why do I come across as radical? Why am I radical in the American culture? Now, I don't want anybody to feel bad about this. Thank God bless Amy, those who are invited me to Stay Awake America tour coming up. By the way, click on that real quick before I forget it, Spencer. Stay Awake America tour. Coming up, another one, Stay Awake America Tour. We got to stay awake. And it's come up in Knoxville, 29th and 30th. They invited me to speak. Nobody wants to hear me speak anymore. Look, I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm trying to show you something here, okay? But here it is. This is Friday, August 29th and Saturday, August 30th in Tennessee. There's the speakers. Casper McLeod, Ken Peters. Scroll on down real quickly, right? Mike Evitz, Vandersteel, Frank. I mean, this is a home run group. Made, Nicole, AG, Lynn Lafferty, she's a sweetheart. Smith, Camp, Devin O'Neill, Coach Dave, Tom Lewis, JJ Carroll, RC Williams, blah, blah, blah. God bless you. Go to it. Come, because you'll be around like-minded people. You'll be around like-minded people. Can I tell you something? Betty, can I just say the truth? Every time I leave one of these things, there is no game plan. No game plan. I come out of there with a whole lot of head knowledge. Every time I go, it reinforces what I already know. I'm motivated. I love hearing these people speak. But at the end of the day, when I walk out of there, I don't know what to do. You guys know what to do? You know what's really, really good about Coach Dave Live? Which we're going to get in here in a second. You looking at me? A bunch of doers in here. In this queue. There is more stuff going on here than, I don't want to pump myself up and act like something special. You guys are doers of the word and not hearers only. But hang on. Some of you still ain't doing. Somebody give me a boom. Some of you still ain't doing.
Boom.
And why aren't you doing? Something as simple as going out with stones and dropping stones. Some of you still aren't doing that. Why aren't you doing that? What is it we have to do? I'm not spanking you today. You're the A-team. Look, friends, there ain't nobody else coming. You're it, man. This is prime time Christianity right now. And for whatever reason, they've made Christianity about leaders. Leaders. Follow this guy, follow this guy, follow this guy. Go to this guy's conference. Go to this guy. Go let this guy lay hands on you. Hey, somebody say amen, so I know I got a friend out there. Somebody say amen. That's all it is. And then you leave there, and you have no game plan. Nothing to do. You don't know what to do. So we're laying out something so simple for you to put a stone and write Joshua 1:3 on it and go drop that stone at literally scores of places right where you live. Right where you live. You can drive down the road, park your car in front of a stop sign, and get out and drop a stone down there and reclaim that territory for the cause of Christ. I staked Crystalline Hill Road. Yep, that's where I live. Both ends of it, I staked it. Just driving down the road and did it. I didn't need some pastor's approval. I didn't need the laying on of hands to anoint me to do it. I went and did it. I'm going to unveil for you here. Now, I want to hear from some of you guys. Please, what did you do? Beth, I see you staked your neighbors. Okay, people need to hear this, okay? Folks, this is grassroots, down and dirty, spiritual warfare Christianity. That's what this is. Pull up what I said to you there, the natural man. I'm going to show you what's exactly wrong in the Christian world. All right? This is first. I ought to read the whole thing. Hey, Spencer, let's read the whole thing. Oh, I know we're supposed to be reading Proverbs. I know that. Can you do it on your own? Can you do it? Well, maybe we'll get a chance here to do it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with the excellency of speech or wisdom. No, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. I was within your weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Because look, spiritual warfare is scary. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words. Name it, claim it, do this, get that. No. But I came. Are you listening? In the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We don't believe in power of God anymore. We don't believe in it. He tells us what to do. Every place you put your foot, it's given to you as an inheritance. And we don't believe it. We don't do it. We won't even say anything to our pastor, maybe to get our church engaged with doing it. We won't even do that. And if you do go to your pastor, chances are, I don't want to speak damnation, he ain't interested. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Tell you something. Power of God's all over what Randy Lunsford's doing. The power of God's all over Craig is doing. The power of God's all over it. And look, folks, people aren't even noticing it, but it don't matter. It don't matter. Hang on. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, no, nor the princes of this world, because those stuff all comes to nothing. The wisdom of this world comes to nothing. Changing Republican, Democrat, changing presidents, senators, what? What? No, Betty, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom? You mean there's hidden wisdom? Some people would call that revelation, hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. When they the biggest mistake they ever did was crucifying Christ, because it made power available to me and you. If they'd known that, they wouldn't have done it. That's what it says. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have never done it. Stay with me. But as it is written, your eye has not seen, nor your ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Imagine what, hey. Not monetary blessing, although that's part of it. Not health blessing, although that's part of it. No, it's so much bigger than that. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Have you trained yourself, conditioned yourself to hear God's voice and then obey? Some of you hear God's voice and you don't obey it. And after a while, it just becomes another voice. God's voice is right up there with Bill O'Reilly or whoever it might be. But God has revealed it. Stay with me. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, folks, I'm getting ready to hammer it. Here it is. What man knoweth the things of a man, except to that spirit of the man that's in him? Do you ever know anybody's motives? You really know anybody's motives? You don't know them, do you? You really don't. And that's where we get ourselves tangled up a lot. We're trying to figure out, why is that guy doing that? Why? Because we're trying to find out what his motive is. Right? Even so, the things of God, no man knows. Huh? The things of God knoweth no 6-foot icicle standing in the pulpit. No, they don't know it. Now, you ready? You guys are believer? You guys believers? Well then, now we've received not the spirit of the world. What? The world has a spirit? But the Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. For instance, staking, walking, claiming power, all power is given unto me, I give it unto you, we don't get it. Freely given to us. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches us, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And we'll get some testimonies from some of you, how the Holy Spirit spoke to you to go do what you've done. Scroll on down. Come on, come on. Okay, here you go. Sitting down? Everybody sitting down? This is why you can never trust a non-born-again Christian. You cannot trust him. Why? Because a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Time out a minute. Somebody tell me real quick. What's the natural man? What is the natural man? Somebody just come in and tell me. What is it?
Maybe not born again.
Say it again. You're right. Say it again.
Not born. Someone that's not born again.
That's a natural man. Not born again man. Now stop right there a second. Ask yourselves how much of our government control, our schools, everywhere you give, we have given over to non-born again men.
100%.
But the natural man, the non-born again man, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he, because they are spiritually discerned. My friends, you are going to church with hundreds of people who are not born again. You have no power in their life. They're sitting beside you. They're even in here. Watch. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, don't they tell you in today's culture, judge not? Don't they tell you that? I judge all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I don't know if you get it. When you are born again and in contact with the Holy Spirit of God, you're operating in an entirely different realm. You have a discernment that the average person doesn't have. You have an understanding of the truth that the average person doesn't have. You have the availability of power that the average person doesn't have. In our churches, that's why we have 46,000 different denominations, because our churches are full of people who are not born again. How do I know? Because when I go into some of those churches, I can't wait to get out. Vinny, boom that one.
Boom.
I can't wait to get out. Because why? The Spirit of God is not there. Ichabod written on the door. Spencer, real quickly, look that up. Ichabod. Ichabod. I think we did that the other day, but Ichabod. Ichabod. What does it mean? Book of Samuel, it means without glory, or where is the glory, or the Spirit of God has departed. Ichabod. And we are trying to operate with a natural man in a spiritual condition, and we can't do it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Hang on. I'm reading someone else. Go to 1A. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. I want to hear your stories. 1A. And Jesus spoke to the multitude of his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and all therefore, whoever they bid you, you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works for. Talking about this, talking about the spiritual leaders in America. This is the spiritual leaders in Israel. Spiritual leaders in America, do not after their works, for they say one thing and they don't do it. In fact, they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their churches. And they love the uttermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogue. And they love it when people say, oh, it's Pastor Joe, Pastor Joe. Oh, they love it. Because they love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, Pastor, Pastor. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brothers. And call no man your father upon this earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And neither be you called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You don't go in yourself and suffer. You let them that are in it go in. You don't let anybody else get involved. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You devour widows' houses for pretense, make long prayers. That's why you're going to get the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one more recruit. Hope he comes to your church and tithes. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Would somebody say amen? Would somebody say amen? This is Jesus Christ speaking to the religious community. We're creating twofold more the children of hell, Jesus said. Woe unto you, you blind guys. Hey, what kind of student are you? Why are they blind guides? Somebody help me out. Why are they blind guides? Come on now, connect the dots. Why are they not blind guides? Why are they blind guides?
Because they're not born again.
They're not led of the Spirit. They're not born again. They're natural men. They're blind. Jesus just said you can't see it. You can't see. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't see it. They're blind. They can't see it. Whoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. You fools, blind. Which is greater, the gold? The temple that sanctifieth the gold. Whoever shall swear by the altar, it's another, but whosoever swears by the gift of the upon it, he's guilty. You fools, you blind. What's greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? Scroll down, Spence. I got to get this off my chest. I don't care if you like it or not. Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, swear by it and by all the things that are on it. And whoever shall swear by the temple swears by the temple and by him that dwelleth in. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth upon it. And woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees and you hypocrites, for you pay tithes of anise and cumin, and you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These things you should have done, you didn't do it. Blind guides, strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, Jesus speaking. You may clean your church, but within it's all full of extortion and excess and greed. You blind Pharisee, clean up your own act first. And maybe you can help the people around you. Woe unto you. Whoa, that ain't a good word, is it? Whoa, Nelly. Woe unto you, church leaders, you hypocrites. You're like unto whitened sepulcher. You're painted white churches. You look good, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. It's good, isn't it? You know why it's good? Because it's the word of God. I'm telling you, some of you have been sitting under these folks, and they've been holding you back. Even so, you also outwardly, you appear righteous. Oh, you look good. But within, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, you religious leaders, you hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in here in our father's day, this would not have happened. We wouldn't have been partaker within the blood of the prophet. We would have fought for them. We would have protected them. Oh, yeah? Well, wherefore you be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your father, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Folks, he's talking to non-born-again leaders. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets, wise men, scribes. And some of them you kill and crucify. Some of them you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. And verily I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her wings? You wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. But I say unto you, you shall not come see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, I could go a lot of different directions on this, but this is a pretty clear damnation of the religious system. It is Judaism. What, say what you want to with it. You think it's any different today? I had to get that off my chest. Johnny's got his hand raised. And then here's what I want. I want to hear some testimonies. I want to hear some testimonies. Now look, tell us a story, not a life story. I want you to tell us what you have been doing. Can I tell you why? Because there are many people who are listening right now who think it's only the big wigs that are doing it. Just me, Randy, Craig. No. What about little old you? Have you been doing anything? Can you encourage somebody else to get involved? Have you gone out and asked somebody to go with you? Have you expanded the kingdom of God by getting somebody else involved with you? Or did you go to your pastor and he pissed all of it? Said, I ain't gonna do that. In fact, probably ask you to leave. Boom. I'm ready for him to line up here. Come on in, Johnny.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Boy, I'll tell you, you guys, you know, Chad, with your saying, we pick up where the church left off.
Right.
And this whole staking thing, Coach, with what you've said, is that, you guys, it's not hard. And so I text Chad last week, and I said, you know, you guys really got me thinking about this staking thing. And it's not so much about putting the physical rock down as it is a spiritual walk.
The obedience, the obedience.
The hands and the feet, we make the action. And so we had this big, big glass vase of all these polished rocks for decorative reasons at my house. And my wife took that thing down. She's like, get that thing off that shelf. Well, she washed all those rocks, and they just been sitting there in this this baking tin for sitting outside for I don't know how long. And then last week I was sitting down with her, and I'm talking about your show and how we're just talking about the staking. And granted, we've done some staking, but I don't know. You guys really planted a seed in me, so I'm kind of on fire. And I sat down with her, and I'm like, Lynn, we got to start doing this. So she said, John, there's that big pile of rocks out there. And they're just little rocks, you know. So I'm like, that's a great idea. So I brought all these rocks right in the house. And I dumped them out on the kitchen table. And I just started writing scripture on them.
Amen.
And then now I got this big bucket. It's not a huge bucket, but I got a big bucket I'm sitting right next to. And now I understand why God put me in the truck. For now, anyway.
That's right.
It's not so I could deliver these loads. It's so I could go stake everything.
So when the Lord says to you, hey, John, hey, Johnny, drop a rock right there, you're ready to do it, aren't you? You get it.
So I've already done it once this morning. You know, I'm like, just I told Chad, I'm on fire right now for this. This is really a lot of fun, actually. And you're right, Coach. It's not hard. So I pray about it in the truck. And then I go out and I came into the state of Wisconsin from Illinois last week, and the huge welcome to Wisconsin sign is right there. That's right there at the rest area. I just parked the truck. I walked over there.
Amen. Says
Governor Tony Evers right there. And I just placed Joshua 1:3 under there. I said a prayer and staked the whole state of Wisconsin.
Amen. Wait a minute, Johnny. Did you have to get your pastor's approval to do that?
Heck no, Coach.
Huh?
But I'm just enjoying it. I'm sorry it took up so much time. But it's been a lot of fun, and I feel like I'm helping do God's work. So
amen. Amen. Hey, listen, Coach. Johnny, listen, folks, this is important. Betty, you're ready. Come on, folks. Some of you line up in here. I want to hear your stories. Come on. Others need to be encouraged. You need to hear your stories. Hang on a second. Now look, folks, understand this. Happened to me. I'm out staking. I got my little grandson with me. And I'm just driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, stake that. Well, maybe it wasn't those words, but that's the thought that came to me. God speaks to me through thoughts, and I ignored it. That's stupid, and I kept right on driving. And I got about another quarter mile down the road, and the Holy Spirit said it again. I told you to stake that back there. What did I do, Betty? Pulled off side of road, did a U-turn, and went back and did it. I'm going to tell you this. Obedience will sharpen your connection to the voice of God.
Boom.
The more you do what he tells you to do, even the simplest of things, and I will in my car sometimes say, Lord, is that you? Was that you, Lord? It's a thought, folks. It's a thought. Natural man receiveth not those thoughts. Neither can he. I don't care how much time he spent in church. If he ain't born again, he ain't hearing those things. And some of them, the Lord's speaking to you, but you got it on mute. You hit the silence button. Boom. Mute. Time to unmute your phone. Okay, let's go for it. Betty, come on in. Tell us your story, not your life story.
Yes, sir. I've been staking for quite a while. It's like everywhere I go, man, everywhere I go, I stake. So if you do it and do it all the time, let's say if you did it for 30 days, it becomes a habit. So yay. I've staked out St. Clairsville. I've staked out hotels. I use stickers at hotel that say, like, no sexual sin may stay. No devices, spirit. And I stick them. I open the drawers and stick them underneath. And now I'm doing it at people's homes. So if I go in somewhere and I got my stickers with, I might do the bathroom drawer, and I stick them underneath there and say a little prayer. Got a bag of 30 rocks beside my driver's seat, so I got Joshua 1 on there, 1:3. But I also say Ephesians 6 to be put on the armor of God on me. Amen. So, you know, so we can stand firm against the wiles of the devil.
Benny is a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Is that right? Be you a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Bless you, Betty. Danica. Yeah.
Could I say one more thing?
Yes, yes.
I want to stake. If it becomes a problem that you have to stake, it's not in your heart.
Amen, Betty. Good one. If you're forcing to do it, like taking medicine, just a spoonful of sugar. No, you got it wrong. I can't wait to do it. In fact, I didn't do it. Yesterday, I staked a couple places yesterday, but not like I wanted to, because you know why? I wanted my staking buddy with me. I want little LD with me, because he's learning to do it too. I needed my partner with me. Danica,
Hey, good morning. I'm going to continue in Wisconsin and also say that it's so important to be prepared. So having rocks with you and listening, like you said, Coach, listening to Holy Spirit. So yesterday I was taking a walk at Lakeshore State Park and got in my car and Holy Spirit said, "You're not finished." And I said, "Oh, you're right." So I hadn't prayed over the rocks yet, but I have oil in it with me all the time. I brought a Sharpie in my car because I knew I hadn't written on the rocks yet.
Amen.
So I sat there. I prayed over the rock. I put Joshua 1:3 on there. And then I picked the point in the park that I usually park at. So I walk on Lake Michigan at State Fairgrounds, which is where it's the largest rock concert for 10 days in a row in the country. Ooh. Okay, so I walk. That's where I walk. There's a Calatrava. The art museum is there. Discovery World. So I walk that whole place. I put the rock on the point where I usually park, which is at the end of the parking lot, which covers the whole thing. And I just brought that back to be glorified to the Lord. And it was just because I had the rocks with me, because I had the Sharpie with me, because I had the oil with me, and because I was listening.
Amen.
So be prepared and turn on that Holy Spirit microphone. So thank you.
Whatever he says unto you, do.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, no, I've thought of staking lost lands. I've staked parts of it already. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Come on, baby. Come on. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. So last night I went to speak at the local city council meeting, and as I was getting out of the car, he said, "Drop a rock." And I, instead of putting Joshua 1:3, I don't know why, but I wrote Joshua 1:5. And then I looked it up, and it's about how God was encouraging Joshua that he's going to be the next Moses, and that it's going with courage and boldness. So I'm
pull
like,
up Joshua oh, okay. 1, Spencer's. Pull up Joshua 1. Keep going, Eileen. Let me cut you off.
I was exposing the city manager and him running a business, his own private business out of City Hall, and he's getting paid over $200,000 a year for a city of 23,000.
Oh, goodness.
He's just... but anyway, I just, when I got done and I turned around to walk away from the podium, one man said, "That was excellent." And I said, "Amen, hallelujah, thank you, Holy Spirit."
Amen, amen.
Thanks,
after the death, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Coach Dave and said, "Billy Graham is dead." all those great leaders, they're dead, dude. They're dead. So since he's dead, now you get your ass up, sorry, and go over the Jordan. You and all the people under the land which I give unto them, even to the children of Israel, and every place that put the sole of your foot, I've given it unto you. Huh? Oh, yeah. As I was with Moses, I'm with you, man. From the rivers of the Lebanon to the great river of the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the Midtites and Totites and the Petites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Go on down. Scroll down. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you too. I'm not going to fail you. God is not a respecter of persons. If he didn't fail Moses, he ain't going to fail you. But be strong. Have good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Said it again, that you may observe to do. Observe to do. Observe to do. That you may observe to do. According to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not to the right, left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Observe to do. Pardon me, I'm not stuttering. Observe to do. According to all that is written therein. Or does it say observe and go ask your pastor to do it? For then shall thou make thy way prosperous. And then shall thou have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. We just don't believe it. Cheryl, come on in. Oh, whoa. No, we believe it for back then. Oh, yeah, we believe it back then. But there's separation church and state now. It can't be true now. Come on in, Cheryl.
Good morning. I've been staking churches, schools, town halls. Let's see, Masonic lodges. I even got to do Mike Pence's. And sometimes I'm alone and sometimes I have a partner. And today's a whole new day to get at it again.
Where are you, Cheryl?
I'm in Indiana.
Indiana. Indiana wants me. God bless. Hey, folks, do you understand the magnitude of what we're able to do just in this clunky little group of folks here? Huh? Let the Lord use you. Just let the Lord use you. Joe Allen, come on in. Hey, Spencer, go to the Liberty Action Network and get up number. It doesn't have a number. Get that up. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, what comes to word of mind of what we're doing is obedience. Enough said.
Obedience. Obedience. So somebody out there saying, do what? What am I supposed to do? Gather stones. Look, here's what I've done from this because what are we calling this action? What's it say at the top, Spencer? Scroll at the top. What's this called? Operation 31. We started out with Operation 31 because we were going to do a stone a day. I did 20 the other day. It's moved beyond just a stone a day. I moved beyond that. I found out that car would take me a lot of places. I can drive pretty far in that car. And I just kind of drive around my neighborhood and the Holy Spirit says, there's one. Boom. How about there? How about there? Why? Because we're pulling down principalities and powers. Evil spirits. See, evil spirits, principalities and powers. Folks, we don't know who they're connected to. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. To obey is better than to sacrifice. So gather a stone, pray over the stone. Each day in August, drop a stone at many locations. And each stone represents claiming that location for God's kingdom. Pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you. Start with your own home and work out from there. Take your Bible, pray Bible verses, one proverb a day. Today we're doing Proverb 12, which we'll get to maybe here in a second. Folks, come on! By the way, anybody else, maybe you could get to do it? And you get them hooked. And then they start doing it on their own. And then they start their own franchise of rocks. They go get somebody, and then they bring two more, and they go their direction, and you go another direction. And then you create another franchise. Find somebody, oh, I'm going to do it. And they go get a group, and they begin to do it. And then they begin to stake their houses and their neighborhoods. Come on. I want to hear from you. Come on. Hey, listen. I love Randy. This ain't the Randy show. This ain't the Craig show. This ain't the whoever show. Come on in. We want to hear. Because, look, friends, there are people listening right now who still don't think they can do it. Well, I know Randy can do it. My goodness, Randy wrote that. But Randy's really good at it. And Craig, well, who am I? Randy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I waited till there was no hand because I'm really enjoying hearing the testimonies, Coach.
I want to hear more of them.
Stepping up. So I'll give my quick one. Coach, last week, I went to get feed up in Kansas, about an hour away, for my grain from my steers that I feed out. And so I get that in a little town, Edna, Kansas, just a little bitty podunk town, just hardly even a main street. But anyhow, I got the feed and it started to rain. My wife was with me. And I said, I'm going to run into this town, drive into town, maybe find something to get under for a moment. I didn't want to have to cover in my feed. So I found a little church. Covering a drive through portico, went under there, wait till the rain stopped. So I really, years and years, I've been going to Edna to get feed. I never really went and looked around much, Coach. But so I'm driving back through Main Street, and guess what I see? I see a Masonic Lodge, Coach.
Wow.
This little town, and it goes back to 1876, Coach. Little bitty farming town. But God, here's a good point, Coach. When you start doing these things, you will start seeing things that you didn't have any idea about. God will show you. He will train you in the moment with just, he'll bring it all together. He'll start connecting dots for you simply because you're out there and you're in the middle of what he's doing. But so, Coach, I looked at my wife and I go, I've got oil, I've got rocks here. So I went over there, oiled the rock. I prayed, took my prayer, my Masonic prayer that Joe and I wrote up that we did at all the courts in Oklahoma. Went over there, and I don't know who's there, Coach. It's still active. I mean, this is just probably men around, local men who are supporting an evil and funding an evil thing. You know, we know what they're doing. So I just went over there, did my thing, prayed my prayer, buried the rock, got back in my car, my truck, drove home. Coach, it took maybe 10 minutes, maybe. But the point is, Coach, just be prepared. And then when that little voice hits you and your eyes, God takes you right in there to the spot in the time and place, time and space, everyone, time and space. See it, see it, see it. And then just be obedient in the moment and move on. This is so easy, Coach, but it is so powerful.
It's so easy. And I want to hear from some more of you. Come on, somebody get in line. Now listen to me. You have any idea what's going on in D.C.? President Trump, I know some of you don't like him. President Trump basically said to the city of Washington, D.C., one of the most corrupt cities in America, he said, we're in charge. National Guard, did you guys see that? The National Guard is in Washington, D.C., cleaning up Washington, D.C. Now, why is that happening? Could it be because some of us, call me crazy, prayer walked, staked, some of those areas in Washington, D.C. declared that Christ would rule and reign again, and that darkness would come down, and they are so, am I allowed to use the word pissed? They are enraged in Washington, D.C. because why? He struck at the heart of the power base.
Boom.
If you guys can't see that, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't even know what to tell you. If you can't, from a spiritual standpoint, see what's going on. It's unbelievable. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Yeah, so, Craig wrote out that refiner's prayer. We also, Karina and I also put together, something similar. And so what we're doing is we started applying that to the churches closest to where we live. And now we're starting to work our way out from there. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we are pointing into the churches. But, what I thought something, I'm kind of a history knucklehead, so I read a lot. About historical things. During the Vietnam War, there was a group called the MAC B SOG, Military Assistance Command Vietnam Special Operations. This was a small group that used to go along into Laos, along the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and they used to scope out and provide information for what the enemy was doing. Okay. And that's what we are. We're going into enemy territory. We're a small group. We don't have thousands of military people going in. We're just a small group.
SWAT team, spiritual weapons and tactics. We're a SWAT team.
Yep. So all you have to do is just use the tools that we have and just go do it.
Amen. Amen. Gino, come on in. Thanks, Glenn.
I just want to say I'm like Grant. There's a lot of little towns around me that I've went and I've laid these rocks and prayed over them at the base of the city limit sign.
I put Amen. It
and then I just want to remind Randy that periodically I go back to some of the courthouses that we have, that's been close to me.
Give them a double dose.
Huh? Yeah. Oh no, I just pray over the rocks that we've already laid there to keep them vibrating and crying out. I just Amen. Pray that if God decides to crumble the walls, that nobody's in there to get hurt.
Amen, baby. Amen, Gino. I love it. Mary Beth.
So I've done like Catholic churches because to me they're just dead churches. You know, it's just like this big building that's dead, you know. And I did do the Masonic Lodge. I did some other stuff, put it on Facebook. But when I was in Ironwood, staking Ironwood and Hurley, the end of the town, you know, Hurley is like a famous town for prostitution and child sex trafficking. And anyway, and I staked that, but there was a girl there cutting grass. And I just, you know, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was just telling me to go over there. And I fold a $5 bill into a heart and I give her a gospel card. And I just think that she was lifted up by that, you know. But then, yesterday I went to Gurney. That is where my daughter lives. We call it the Gurney Journey. And she's just really like rebellious and mad at me right now. So anyway, I didn't go to the house. I went to Gurney and I laid down a rock there. Wouldn't you know, a Psalm or Proverb 12 is about like children and their parents. So it was really good. I mean,
So Mary Beth, it's a spiritual war. We see it as a natural war, but the issue between you and your daughter is spiritual. Folks, it's spiritual. Amen. Craig says truck stops. How about truck stops? Gas stations. Every place. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Dale.
Well, Coach, I'm going to put it this way. I use this analogy at church this past week. I've been talking on your giftings, spiritual giftings, and I see this all throughout the church. People are not exercising or moving in their spiritual gifts. I said, do you remember when you were a child and you learned how to ride a bike for the first time and your dad was with you and you thought you couldn't do it? You were scared. And I get it, right? That some people might be afraid here to start this, Coach, because it's like riding a bike. That first time, it's like, man, your heart is pounding. But your father, he's knowing you can do this. He knows you can do this. And then he says, all right, trust me. And he pushes you and he releases you. And then you start pedaling and your smile and your confidence gets bigger. Folks, let me tell you what, the Heavenly Father is trying to push you in this area. Wow. He so much believes in you. He's got greater faith in you than you do in him at times. And he believes if you will just begin to pedal, begin to do this, let me tell you what, you do great things and go further than you've ever gone before.
Last night, some of you, we have a pontoon boat. We have a clunky pontoon. It ain't nothing special. We've had it for, I don't know, 8 years maybe. Clunky old pontoon boat. Well, my daughter Maggie, who's pregnant with our 11th grandbaby, called and said that the kids would like to go out on the boat. Can we go out on the boat? I said, sure. So they all packed up, loaded up four and a half of them. We go over and get in our old clunky old boat. Fires right up. And little Declan, he's two. He's Grampy. Can I drive? And I could have been pastor. So, oh, no, you're not anointed to drive. Let me run it by the elders here and see if, no. I said, sure. Here, get him here. Get up between my legs here, Dave. Sit down right here, Davey, and drive. And Davey did it. And you know what happened next? Emery wanted to do it. His next oldest sibling wanted to do it. And she sat down on Grampy's lap, and she drove the boat. And then you never guess what happened. Mia wanted to do it. And then Mia got down between Grampy's lap, and Mia drove the boat. And then, lo and behold, the oldest, Macy, wanted to do it. Macy's driving the boat. And I'm sitting there making sure they know what to do. And then I said, hey, I'm a little tired. Hey, Macy, will you drive the boat by yourself?
She looked at me. I said, I'll be right over here. I'm gonna rest a little bit. Will you drive the boat? She drove it and circled around. And then Mia, Grampy, can I do it? Can I drive the boat? Can I drive the boat, Grampy? Yeah, sure. I'm here. Get in there. And Mia drives it a little bit. Ain't nobody on the lake but us. I'm saying, look over your shoulder, huh? And you never guess what happened, huh? Declan wants to do it. Now he's the baby. He wants to do it before Emery does. Emery, no, I won't do it. Are you with folks? That's living out your faith. You can drive the stinking boat.
It's catchy, Coach.
It was real. It was real the whole rest of the time on the lake. They wanted to drive.
And courage is contagious. Coach, that's my heart. This has been my heart for the past 4 weeks in my church. It's the same here. I'm telling you, when I put those rocks, and I didn't think they would all be gone at the end of service, the whole bucket, I had four rocks in each plastic bag. Coach, I believe that something is about to happen in my church because people that I know, they're going to step out and do great things. And I said this, God has more faith in us than we do in him.
Boom on that one. Boom on. Teresa, come on in. Boom.
Hi. I wanted to tell you what happened with me. The first time I went out was just this past weekend. And my experience is a little different than everyone else's. When I wrote on the rocks, the Sharpie absorbed right in and you could barely read it. And I'm like, well, is this going to do any good? And I thought, well, it's a spiritual thing and God knows what's on there, right? So right. I went ahead and placed the rock, but I was traveling with my sisters across the state of Ohio. So I was putting them in rest stops. And when I first got in the car to leave, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go back in the house. I forgot something. And they said, what? And I went and tell them, I went in and got it, brought them back out. It's a bag of rocks and Sharpies. And they're like, you made us wait for that. So then I had to explain the whole thing to them. And, you know, they've never heard of it before. And they're like kind of pew warmer believers, you know. And so they thought it was a little different. But then when we were in the rest area, my sister goes, you know, if you leave it in the bathroom, they're just going to clean it up and throw it out. And I said, I know, I was thinking that. So then they started helping me find a place to put it where it wouldn't get hit by the lawnmower, it wouldn't get thrown out. So then they, even though they weren't quite sure of what I was doing or necessarily completely believed, they were helping me find places to put the rock.
They started driving the boat. They started driving the boat. Craig, come on in.
Spencer, pull up the link at 7:55. So here's the link. You can download it yourself. Look at it, Coach. It's how the cult goes and walks the cities. They've been doing it before we are. We're just catching on. We're late to the game.
All right. And so this is mapping the – oh, my goodness, my goodness. Put that in the chat. Put that in the chat. Betty, quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say yesterday we went to the clinic and I met a lady there. Well, I saw a lady there that goes to the church I used to go to. So I was telling her about, you know, I would like to speak at the church if the pastor would let me, and I'm going to go to give him a call. But could you give him a heads up that I'll be calling about child trafficking? And I never thought about it, but I'm going to talk about staking too and saving God's children with Craig and all that. And I also told her that CPS was the biggest child trafficking business there was, and Freemasons were all behind it. And she goes, my husband's part of the Freemasons. She said, that can't be true. I said, well, he must have not gone far enough up. I didn't know what else to say to know and realize that what they are really standing for. I said, if he isn't a 33-degree Mason, he probably doesn't know what's going on. So I'm hoping the pastor gets a hold of me. If not, I will be calling him.
Amen. I believe the Masonic is losing its power, its grip over what it did. Those are still high places that we need to tear down. Get after it. Start driving the boat yourself. Quit waiting on your pastor. He ain't coming. He may not even be born again. See you tomorrow.